Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Cale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujeet Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic, and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to another edition of the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 68, being recorded on the 11th of March, 2015, with special guests Michael Collier and Robin Shahan. I'm Sujeet DeMello, and on Skype with me, as usual, I have Cale Teeter and Evan Basilik, and our special guests. I'm going to let Michael and Robin introduce themselves, but the topic we're going to talk about today is their book that they have written on the fundamentals of Azure, and we want to talk to them about the book and how they came about writing it and what went into it, and get some feedback and some impressions from them on Azure, both their own feedback as well as, you know, what they heard from customers and things like that. So, Robin, please, you go first.
Okay. So I'm a Microsoft Azure MVP, and I have a small consulting company and do Azure consulting and help people migrate to the cloud and help you figure out your infrastructure and things like that. I run the Azure meetup in San Francisco and Silicon Valley, and I speak regularly at different code camps and user groups kind of all over the United States. I think Microsoft Press pinged me about writing a book because I wrote a blog entry for them last year. And it's not like the blog entry, I don't know if it was stellar or what, but apparently every time someone commented on the blog, they would send me a tweet in Twitter, and I would go answer the comment. And they thought that was awesome. I thought, aren't you supposed to do that? So when the book thing came up, they pinged me about writing one, but I didn't really want to write a whole book, so I was kind of ruminating on it when I got the call from Michael, and he asked if I wanted to work on it together, which I thought would be great fun. And so that's how I came about to write the book.
Great story. Michael, please, can you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, so my name is Michael Collier. I'm currently a cloud solution architect with Microsoft. I'm relatively new to Microsoft, so I'm still figuring out how to handle the massive amounts of email and acronyms, which is good fun. Mm-hmm. Before I joined Microsoft, I worked in the partner space for several years. I was a partner at Didi for a few years, and I met Robin through the MVP program. I was an MVP for 5 years, and so I met her there, and had a lot of fun hanging out with her in different MVP events and thought it'd be a lot of fun to write a book with her.
Great. And I got to say that, you know, I have, since I came to hear about the book internally, I think it was maybe about a month ago, right? When was the book released?
About a month ago. It was in February.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I've been checking it out, and it really very nicely written book. I got to say that, guys. Great job.
Thank you.
I know there's a lot of effort goes into writing these things, and it's not easy. But what I got out of it was that it's not super in depth and detailed. Like, you don't, it's not a whole lot of very 400 level technical knowledge you need to have to read this book. I think a lot of people can get a lot out of this book, and it's kind of, you know, I think the listeners of this particular show, the Azure Podcast, would really appreciate this book because it kind of falls in line with the kind of people that we try to go after on this show. You know, doesn't go too deep, but has just about enough information to get you going. So definitely a great book, and highly recommend our listeners read this book. But
thank you.
Evan and Cale, you guys want to chime in?
I actually feel really bad because I looked at the book last night after I got home from a local user group meeting where I presented on Azure 101, and I had a bunch of people ask me, like, hey, what can I go, you know, where can I go to learn some more about this? And because I had done a survey, the audience said, okay, who's used Azure? There were like 2 people. Who's heard of Azure? There were like 10 out of like 70 or 80 people.
Wow.
So they were really interested in it. They wanted to know more. I mean, they kind of heard the term, but they didn't really know what it was. And I wish I had done, I had had a chance to review the book before I had gone to that user group meeting, because I would have been giving it out like candy, as far as you're, because it really is. I agree with Sujit. The level you guys wrote it at is great for somebody to just say, I want to understand what I can do, but I'm not quite ready to, you know, go through all the nitty gritty of, you know, doing really complicated deployments with PowerShell and all that kind of stuff. I'm not ready there, but I just want to understand what I can do.
Cool.
Yeah, that was actually kind of like, I thought was kind of one of the harder parts of writing the book, is keeping it kind of introductory level, so to speak, and keeping it to a kind of length that we were supposed to try to keep it to, right? And keep it to, here's kind of the basics, what you need to know to get started, without overwhelming someone with a lot of the kind of the detail and, you know, kind of, I don't know, battle stories of working with Azure, right? Here's the basics. Here's how you get going and, you know, let them kind of run with it.
So did you guys actually find that you had to rewrite sections because you went, wow, that we went deeper than we wanted to there? Or
I think we had a pretty good basis. We had kind of an outline on what we wanted to do. One of my pet peeves about a lot of documentation is that it assumes you know, like, starting 6 feet up in a, you know, 10-foot blade. And I wanted to kind of write it like you don't know anything about Azure, and you kind of, the basics, you know, we cover the basics with virtual machines and websites and storage and the things that are kind of the cornerstones, just enough that, and with a couple of, some hands-on labs, so you can try them out and kind of get a feel. And then from there, you can kind of think about what you might need for your infrastructure or for whatever purpose you're going to use it for. And I think that's what we were going for. And I think Michael did a great job, and I tried really hard, so.
I thought it was great, so.
Thanks.
Yeah, the question I had was, I think it's kind of challenging with something like Azure, right, because it moves so fast. So I was just wondering, like, when you started, from the time you guys started writing this, you know, things change very quickly, and especially when you put something into print, it can go out of date really quick. So I was wondering how you guys kind of did, was that a big problem for you as you were writing it? You're like, oh no, now this thing changed. We have to go back and update that section. Or were you able to kind of stay ahead of it?
You know, for me, that was one of the hesitations I had just going into the book with talking with Microsoft Press, that I didn't want to do a book because I'd seen other books kind of fall out of date, like, as soon as they were published. And, you know, we kind of talked about it some more, and I felt comfortable at this point and going forward. And, you know, as we were writing the book, I was surprised at how few things we actually had to go back and redo. We had a little bit with Azure SQL Database that we had to tweak in there, but a lot of the core features that we talked about were the ones that don't seem to be changing that often.
Mm. You know, Azure the SQL VM Database. Sizes.
Yeah, there's some new sizes. Yeah. Sizes.
That was one of them. And for me, I had a section on how to create a website from the marketplace, but they didn't used to call it the marketplace. And in the meantime, they moved it. They renamed it and moved it. And I couldn't find it, and I complained about it. And they're like, oh, it went over here. Oh, you're right. So we should change that. So they fixed it. And I'm like, crap, now I have to go back and fix that section of the book. I had to rewrite, like, a whole little section about how to create websites.
So if you have that kind of clout, Robin, I've got a couple of bugs that I need. I've been trying to get fixed.
I
have to send them over to you.
Yeah, I'll totally direct them. I really didn't think they'd fix what I asked them to fix, but they did. So, but yeah, totally. If you have bugs, you can send them to me, and I'll see what I can do for you.
So real quick, just for our listeners, I'll just read out the chapters just so you know that this book covers all the essentials of Azure. They've covered websites, Azure Cloud Services, virtual machines, storage, virtual networks, databases, Active Directory, and management tools, and then they rounded off with some business cases. So, you know, I think that this is the perfect place for anyone to get started with Azure. What really surprised me is that you guys apparently wrote this book. It's a free book, right? I mean, anybody can download it. So, like, how did you guys get the motivation to write something like this?
We got paid a little bit upfront. But I think, I can't speak for Michael, but for me, I've been evangelizing Azure since I first started using it in 2010, and I think it has a lot of great benefit, and it's definitely the future of where things are going. So if I can help somebody who's having problems, and I keep hearing about that, but I don't know what it is or how to use it. It's too big of a subject for me to understand. To take it and cut it down into pieces and just make something that people can, you know, use to help them get through that. That's kind of what I was going for.
Excellent.
Where do you, so maybe to kind of give a sense of, and by the way, Robin, I'm in support, so I'm always trying to get bugs fixed, so I have a long, long list for you. where did you, you know, just to give a sense for the audience, right, because you're kind of targeting this at the people that are just starting this, maybe you guys can kind of tell us, how did you get started in the Azure space? I mean, clearly you're passionate about it because you put this effort into it, but, something had to flip you into it to start with.
I worked for a startup that had money issues, and we had infrastructure hosted in a hosting environment, Silicon Valley, and it was ungodly expensive. Mm-hmm. It was 15% of our burn rate. And so I proposed that we move the entire thing to Azure and that we do it in 60 days, which worked great, except I had to work 700 hours of overtime. But we got the whole thing basically, you know, migrated. We updated all the web services to WCF services. We got all the web apps, everything moved and up and running within the 60 days. And then we turned off the old environment. And the new one was 90% cheaper than the old environment.
Wow.
And it, you know, it went from 15% of our burn rate to 2%.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It saved them over $1 million.
Wow, that's amazing, because you a lot of times hear people will say, hey, I can save money with going to Azure. And I usually will kind of stop them and say, you know, for the same servers, you may not save money, but if you design it right and you scale up and scale down, you can really save yourself some money. But your scenario is classic. I mean, you could, it's poster child. You save money just straight up. Wow, that's amazing.
Well, and the other thing is, we actually started, we had about 8 or 9 medium-sized services, or 8 or 9 servers that were medium-sized VMs. That was the comparable. Mm-hmm. And we ended up with about 25 VMs running small sizes, and it was dirt. It was just dirt cheap in relative for us. And I don't know if our hosting environment was just way expensive. You know, they bought hardware because they thought they would have 1 million customers any day now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but it saved the company from going out of business, basically.
I think that's a classic use case for Azure, or any cloud service for that matter. That's the kind of sweet spot, I think, right, guys? Companies that just don't want to spend too much upfront and just want to test the waters.
Are there some that want to spend a lot of money upfront? We need them as customers.
That's right. How about you, Michael? What was your kind of motivation behind writing the book? And I mean, I know you're Microsoft architect and things like that, but what drove you to writing this book?
For me, writing the book was really just kind of a situation where, I had opportunities to write some books before and always just really pushed them off because I had some friends that had done books and knew just the amount of time that they put into it. And it was I don't want to do that. but this one came up and it was I'm going to do it, right? It seemed like a relatively at the time, an easy book to write. It was introductory level. I'm okay, you know, I can do this. I write a lot of blog posts. I speak at a lot of conferences, and a lot of those talks are kind of introductory level. So I was I could draw on that. And it came up as, you know, maybe if I could split it with someone, it wouldn't be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
boy, was I wrong. Just kidding. But it worked out really good, I think. And for me, it was just a case of, you know, let's do this. Let's write this book. Let's, you know, see what that experience is like. And I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost 240 pages. So great. It's quite an endeavor writing a book like this. Now, is there any one particular chapter or area that you guys had most fun working on in all of them?
Ooh, most fun chapter.
Probably the business cases.
We had a good discussion on that. Yeah.
For Michael, he was so good. We had a long discussion about you know, how long should they be and blah, 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 and what should the focus be and what should the business cases be? So we kind of picked like the four highest, most popular business cases, and I went off to work on it while he was doing something else, and I wrote 5 pages about the dev test scenario. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud of myself. Like, 5 pages, yeah, baby. I sent it off to Michael, and he sends it back, and he's like, I think you actually pinged me on Skype, and he's like, you know, this is great stuff, but it's not a business case. It's a how-to. Oh, crap. So I had to we basically cut the 5 pages and start over. But Microsoft Press was really nice about it. That's going to be posted on their blog in the next probably couple of weeks or so.
I was going to say that would be perfect blog material somewhere at that point.
Yeah, because it really captured a lot of the, you know, how do I handle a dev test scenario with all the VMs and networks and all this other stuff. How do I do that? So.
And you're talking about the A/B testing piece that you wrote?
It's about the dev test scenario. And that's part of that. But
okay.
You know, setting up your environment. So you could have production on premises and use Azure for your testing.
You could bring
the machines up, you can tear them down. It's much cheaper than buying hardware and having it sit around when you're not using it, doing nothing, and that kind of thing. Just like, what's the business case of using it for development and test environments? So.
Now, here's a question that we ask a lot of our listeners guests that we have on the show that, you know, are involved with a lot of customer engagements like yourselves. Are there any particular Azure services you think are used more than others? Like, is it mostly IaaS, or do we see a lot of PaaS? Are we seeing a lot of usage of some of the other services that Azure has, for example, media services, mobile services, etc.?
I think right now, maybe in the last year or so, I've seen a much bigger uptake in Azure in general,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, the infrastructure services, right, getting into the virtual machines. Once, you know, that feature came into Azure, it seemed like it opened up a new audience to it. You know, instead of just kind of developers doing things with cloud services, it seemed like it got this new kind of people interested in what the platform could do. And then going, you know, we can run some server workloads on it, and you got the IT pros kind of audience into it. And then I think that's a great thing, right? Getting more people into the platform and getting different perspectives, and it's all good.
Sure. Good. How about you, Robin? Any thoughts on that?
I agree with him. I think the infrastructure as a service part just totally took off. It's kind of a shame because the platform as a service cloud services are so easy to scale. If you can, you know, get your applications to run that way, at the company I worked for, all of our web applications were stateless. So we, you know, to prove the concept that we could do this in 60 days, I just took a Silverlight application and added a cloud project and published it to the cloud, and it worked right out of the box. Of course, I tested it beforehand. I'm not stupid. But, you know, then to scale the thing, we could just increase the instance count. I mean, and I think that they're kind of overlooked and people don't want to think about re-architecting. There's a lot of lift and shift. You know, I have this infrastructure. I just want to move it into Azure so I don't have to continue dealing with my local hardware or for whatever reason.
Right.
So,
yeah, no, so if in Azure, if you deploy a website, that's technically considered a PaaS instance, right?
Those are platform as a service.
Right. Yeah, it's more PaaS-y.
Then, yeah, exactly. Whoa, just thing made up a word over here. PaaS-y, I like that. Yeah, so, and I believe it was one of our other guests, guys, that mentioned that website was one of the fastest growing services on Azure. Right, I think.
It is and has been because it's just incredibly easy to adopt if you're doing ASP.NET or cloud services today. To shift to that is really not a big leap,
mm-hmm.
and it's cheap. I mean, comparatively, typically for most people, compute's their dominant cost, right? Right. And Azure websites are incredibly cheap from a compute perspective.
True.
Yeah, I get a lot of people asking kind of which one to choose, right? So we have to go through the whole, you know, this is what websites is, this is what cloud services, and this is virtual machines. And you can kind of get it. I kept telling people, you know, hey, start with websites because they are so just, they're cheap and fast and easy to deploy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you find something you can't do with them, then you can always go to cloud services.
Exactly.
That's a cool thing. The thing I see with the customers I'm working with usually is sometimes I actually see the opposite, though. It's like, they like the concept of a VM because it's comfortable. Like, oh, I know how this works. Yeah, I know how to run VMware. I know how to run all these different hypervisors. And then they say, oh, that's comfortable for me. And then you start saying, okay, so we can run your app like that, but here's another option, you know, with PaaS, and start to open up those conversations. Sometimes they're like, oh, I didn't know it was that easy. I thought it, you know, it was much harder. That's why I kind of stayed away from it. But so I think IaaS did open the door there to
get it's people. A gateway drug. That's what it is. It's a gateway drug.
And now, if and Cale, if you ever have those kind of discussions, point them to this book, please.
Yeah,
this, this book will definitely let them know how easy it is to get into this stuff.
Do you guys ever wonder, you know, and again, you know, Robin, because you're kind of outside looking in, right, at this stuff, and Michael, we're going to treat you as outside looking in because you're just now inside looking out. But, you know, do you guys find that when you're talking to customers, I mean, because I agree with Robin, like PaaS is the future, right? If you can get there, it's really the right place to go. But do you find that customers shy away from that because they can't see that future, or are they just scared of the change and IaaS is kind of as far as they're willing to go now? But you think that it will turn out to be a gateway to the other stuff, right? When you actually talk to them, what do you hear?
You know, in my experience, it kind of depends on the audience that we're talking to, right? If we're going in and talking to Azure to the kind of the traditional IT pros, then all they care about is virtual machines. And it is that gateway then, okay? We can get you then, and then, you know, we can start at least opening your eyes to other opportunities that might be in the platform. I had a customer recently, and he was like, hey, we're going to, you know, go to the cloud, and I want to do everything as cloud enabled as possible, right? I want to totally adopt this thing. So he was all on board with, you know, we're going to do websites and cloud services where it makes sense, and then VMs where it makes sense. And he just totally wanted to kind of just change what he had and, you know, hey, we're going all in and PaaS all the way as much as possible. And he had a developer background, so he was totally fine with that.
Yeah, I think the thing I've heard too, some of the feedback about PaaS was not just that, oh, there might be code changes. It was, well, I don't want to be locked into Microsoft. Like, that's the thing I hear sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why do I have to write something specific? It's like, hang on, there's very little of that, you know, depending on what you're doing, but it could be very little. So let's take a look at it and see what's going to happen there.
Well, and if you architected it right, you could write something around both, right? You could have code that would, you know, decide whether it was Azure or that other company that rhymes with Glamazon. And you know, make it work according to which one it was running on. And just,
yeah.
If you isolated the code out and you factored it correctly, you could totally do that.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is the scaling, right? So the scaling feature, like you mentioned, Robin, even if they say, well, we just want to lift and shift, we won't put it in IaaS. But then you find out that they're writing things to local disk or doing something bad like that, you know, and it's like, oh, wait, you know, I mean, that will work, but it won't scale right now because now you've introduced something new. And so getting them in the mindset of kind of pulling their application apart and having the storage kind of being separate of the compute so that we can, you know, scale those out is, I think, a big thing too.
Yeah, I think Azure storage is greatly under talked about. You know, we had an application, it was a web application that required that the customer would upload basically pictures and he would record audio. And we would stream that. We basically gave every customer their own container and blob storage. We would keep all their pictures and all their audio so they could create this message, this video type message, and then play it back. And all of that came out of Azure storage. And, you know, one of the cool things is because it's in the same region, because it's in the same data center, there's no egress charges, so we could write to blob storage, read from blob storage, just pretty much at will, with really tiny transaction charges for every gazillion transactions, you know, it's a dime or something.
Yeah.
And people don't think about ways to use that capability. I mean, you can get to those files from anywhere, from any application or any, you know, any computer, and it was a great feature for us.
Absolutely, yeah. Doug, I think blob storage and I like to use the table storage as well. Mm-hmm. The two of them together, a really dynamic combination.
Yeah, it's a very compelling story.
Now, how long did it take you guys to write this book? Like, since you get first got the call from Microsoft Press and you delivered the final version of it.
When did we start, Rob? Was it October?
I started in September.
September.
You started.
That's pretty good. So like it took like 5-6 months. That's not bad at all.
It was like it was really like 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we already know Robin works. She already works an incredible amount of overtime. So like
there was a little bit of that going on. Yeah. So.
Great.
Yeah, I was really happy that we could get it done that fast. And when I wrote the first chapter, I started before Michael because that's just how our schedules worked out. And they're like, okay, we want to have about 20 pages per chapter. So I wrote the first one, which was the one on cloud services, and it was 38 pages long. And I thought, oh dear. But I didn't even tell him. I sent it to him. I said, here you go. I thought, we'll see what he says. And I didn't hear anything back. And so we just kept going. And I think both of us did that. A lot of the chapters were well over 20 pages. And they didn't actually look at them until the very end. At that point, it was too late to do anything about it. So the book is longer than it was supposed to be, but I think everything that's in it deserves to be in it.
I agree. Yeah, nice screenshots with the portal and everything in there. Very well done.
Yeah, right. We could just tell the portal team to stop making changes to things. We're like, why were we writing the book? Just while we're writing the books, we didn't have to do any more screenshots. Until, we were done around early December.
By the way, quick poll for both of you. New portal, old portal? What do you prefer?
The more I play with the Azure PV portal, the more I like it. And some of the changes they've made in the last month or so, I think, are...
Do you have to say that because you work?
No, I actually like it. I've been playing with it more and more. And some of the changes they've made recently to kind of the usability and just kind of moving around the speed at which the blades open are making it a lot easier. I think there's just a natural inclination for... kind of people to kind of, the who moved my cheese, like it's different, so I don't like it.
Right.
But I think, the more you kind of get used to it, I really like what's kind of happening in there. And I think it'll be really nice when, I think it'll be probably a while, but other sort of Azure services start moving in there as well, or all of them start getting in there. But
how about you, Robin?
To be honest, I had a lot of trouble when I was doing the book using the new portal. They've improved it quite a bit, in all fairness. But, I still find things like they added some properties for websites and things, and I was looking at them on my Surface tablet made by Microsoft, and I couldn't scroll the blades up and down. I actually had to use my mouse or my finger on the screen on find the scroll bar mm-hmm. and actually use that to scroll them up and down. And I'm like, didn't you guys make the Surface tablet? And I sent that in. I'm sure that they're going to fix it as soon as they can get to it. Mm-hmm. But I think that in the long run, the new one will be a vast improvement over the old one. There's some things that I like. I like being able to look down the left side of the old one and see how many of each service I have.
Yes.
So if I'm doing training, and I can tell immediately if I've turned everything off, that kind of thing. And I think that you'll see that surface in the new portal eventually.
Yeah, but remember, if we go back, right, who all liked the Silverlight portal?
Giving up a good point.
And there was the one before that, which I can't even remember what it was.
There was one before that?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Silverlight portal was the new portal at one point.
Oh, wow.
It was two sticks they rubbed together.
It was just two little servers somewhere, right? We didn't have a cloud yet. We just had a couple of servers.
I think you're thinking of PowerShell. I don't know if that counts as a portal.
There was some joking amongst the MVPs that the reason – this was like last, October – that the reason the new portal was so awful was to try to get us all to use PowerShell instead. Yeah, but they've improved it a lot in that time, since then, certainly. And they're great about taking feedback, and you report bugs, and they go and fix them. I had a problem with something that I was trying to do for the book and posted to the MVP distribution list that, dude, this doesn't work at all. And the guy fixed it over the weekend. So they're very responsive, and I think, they really committed to getting to the place where everybody's okay with it and everybody likes it.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting about – kind of some of the, even before I joined Microsoft, but just seeing them from with how they, the Azure team handles MVPs and community. I mean, you see the PMs for the products like on Twitter and Stack Overflow. I mean, they're really responding, taking that feedback and working with people. And I think that's just awesome.
Mm-hmm,
it's not just
the
evil empire sitting there doing things. It's they really want to make it work for people.
And they really want to help you do your job and help you do your job more effectively and more efficiently and help you get your work done without being painful.
Great to hear you say that, Robin. It's really nice. Well, I think with that, I think we're coming to the end of our show. Guys, any more questions for Michael and Robin?
No, this is great. I love the, you know, thanks for coming on, but I also just love having the book out there. I total honesty, right? So I lead the Windows on Azure team in the support space. I will be sending the link out to my entire team tomorrow to say, hey, here's one more resource you should use. So
cool. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, guys. This has been awesome. And the same feedback, you know, when I'm with customers who are new to the cloud, this will definitely be one of the first go-to. So thanks so much.
By the way, I meant to ask you, is printed version an option that you can buy somewhere, or is it just purely an ebook at this time?
It's purely an ebook. They said they used to offer both options, but they had 0.02% of the people actually doing the printed thing. And my suspicion was that was the family and friends of the authors,
mm-hmm.
so they could get a signed copy. And it's they've had over 66,000 downloads of the book so far.
Nice.
And it came out when? What was the actual release date?
Middle of
February 3rd, I think, is the post date on the Microsoft.
Wow, so
press
basically thing. Basically a month you've had that much. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're real happy. I hope it helps a lot of people move into Azure.
Totally.
Well, we'll try and triple that with, you know, all with our audience.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
there you go. All right, guys. Good talking to you, and best of luck on any other books that you may be writing. Looking forward to reading them as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. Bye.
Bye
now.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.